Why work from home when your office could be in Yellowstone? 2021 will be the year to rediscover the outdoors, and Mid-America RV is your gateway to adventure with their diverse selection of travel trailers, fifth wheels, teardrops, and toy haulers. They have the right size RV for any vehicle, all covered by their exclusive RV warranty forever. Game days, remote work, getaways, and family vacations are all better in an RV from Mid-America RV. Find out more. Oh, wait, let's experience travel like you never have before, and then find out more at MidAmericaRV.com. It is an audio-only episode today as the crew all together in Joplin, Missouri, Paige in Jomo for the first time ever. Can't wait to hear your thoughts and impressions
on... I think she said she's ready to move here. She's like, this is the best
this
place
morning
I've
we
ever
talked
seen.
About how much my house cost, and she's ready to buy four of them.
On the way home from Kansas City Wednesday night, went to the Royals game, and Paige was looking at like real estate, and she's like, this is how much it costs to live here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where are the other expenses?
There are none.
This is it.
Yeah, we were saying like what the lowest cost of a house here was and the lowest cost where I live in California.
The lowest cost like a house here, you could probably find one for like $5,000. It's not going to be good.
I know people buy houses for under 20 and flip them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because they have good bones. Like,
thousand,
they're cute.
By the way.
They're cute.
Under 20,000.
Yeah, yeah. They're cute homes here.
Right.
For sure. But I don't think I'll be moving here anytime soon. The humidity ruined my hair. So that was enough for me to be like, nope.
I drove her from my house to our office, which you can like skirt town, you know, that way. And I was like, oh, damn, I should have taken you through Joplin instead of around. So wait, on the way home tonight, Paige, we'll get the Rangeline cruising.
I love that you like the humidity was one thing you noticed, because I love when college football season comes around and like, oof, these players aren't ready to go to Florida. Like, what? Florida's not the only place that has humidity, right? Like, pump the brakes on that one.
I remember pretty much
everywhere outside of the West Coast has humidity.
Yes. Talking to Eric Winston once when he was with the Kansas City Chiefs, he was from West Texas, went to the University of Miami, and then played for the Houston Texans, then ended up with the Chiefs. And somebody on Twitter was like, oh, you don't understand humidity. And he was like, I lived in Kansas City for 2 years.
He lived in Miami.
The humidity in Missouri is legit. Like, it's up there.
Yeah.
So
it'd be
crazy.
Really nice here if it weren't for the humidity. That would
be amazing, right?
Yeah. Or if you don't like the weather, just wait 5 minutes. It'll change.
Right. I saw storm chasers today. I didn't want to warn Paige, but I did see them. Now I've warned her. So
I hope you get to experience your first tornado siren.
It's that time.
I actually one time was in St. Louis for a dance competition. And I remember it happening at the hotel, and like, we didn't know what it was. I was like, what the heck is this? Because
well, as Midwestern dads, we go outside and we watch.
We stand on my back porch and watch.
Yeah, no, I would be in your basement and locked down.
Right.
And like in the bathtub.
Yeah, right. That's the safest place to be. So
I know that much.
You got that part figured out. We do have some exciting news. I know we've been teasing for a while, like, oh, we have news. We can finally share some of said news. We're waiting for some other details on other things. But one thing we want to get on your guys' calendar, September 12th, Kansas City, Missouri, the return of Tailgate Tour. The Cleveland Browns travel to Arrowhead. The Browns have a great fan base. They travel exceptionally well. So we thought, let's just post up. Two great fan bases. So Kansas City, Missouri, it is a 3:25 p.m. kickoff. That means we will be tailgating all day. Our good friends from Mid-America RV, the game day trailer will be there. That means 370-inch TVs. So you can come watch the noon games.
Yeah.
Three of them now. 370-inch TVs. You can come watch the noon games and then go watch Chiefs-Browns. We'll be tailgating with the Lot J crew. If you've tailgated with us in the past, you know Mello and I post up with these guys a couple times a year. So we'll have more details as we understand timelines. But if you're wanting to, now that we can all safely, thank you CDC and people who created vaccines, we can all safely get back together again, and we are jumping at every opportunity. So Paige's first Chiefs game coming very soon. Paige's first Chiefs tailgate coming very soon.
Look, we tailgated a little at the Royals game yesterday, and your lovely friends were hanging out with us, and they were telling some stories of Chiefs tailgates.
Of past tailgates.
And I am...
Oh, you heard stories.
I heard some stories. I mean, some I knew, but not specific details of.
With my sprained thumb, I can only hook them with one hand.
Yeah.
So
I'm excited to get out here and see what it's like. I haven't tailgated at an NFL game in a really, really long time. Probably since I was a kid, which sounds
weird. I don't want to be that
guy. So I didn't drink, but
there are, I feel like, a couple places.
Don't do it.
You've never tailgated in Kansas City.
Don't do it.
You've never.
It's
like
easily
you,
top five.
Maybe
though.
You've tailgated for like
in
a Cardinals
Oakland.
Game or a Raider. Okay, well, never mind. Did you get?
Have you ever been to Oakland?
I have.
Okay, well,
I think I got a staph infection. Right, I definitely joined a gang.
I definitely joined a gang.
Right? Well, but tailgating in Kansas City is different. I was just saying, unless you've been to like Buffalo, Green Bay, I don't know what the tailgating scene's like in Oakland.
It's wild. Well, because you tailgating for like A's games is big, like day games. That's a huge deal. And also for Raider games as well. But I haven't tailgated like for a NFL game as an adult, just because I've worked in college football so much that like Sunday's my day off where I just like chill.
Well, the great thing is that it's not an early game. It's a 3:30 kickoff.
Early game, you're early little game, ass being there at 7 a.m.
Rain, I like that, shine, though. I love that, though.
Oh, no.
It just makes for a long day.
It does. Would,
yeah.
Because the game is over at 3 o'clock, and you're like, I'm drunk still.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's only 3 o'clock.
Keep this train rolling.
So, this one usually end up in Waldo at some hole-in-the-wall bar trying to watch the 3 o'clock game.
I mean, I haven't tailgated for a college football game since I saw you guys, and we didn't even really tailgate that much at Stanford. Because, like, I've worked in college football for the last six years.
Why Mello and I at an Iowa game decided that we were just going to start tailgating and cover college football that way.
Yeah.
So
exactly. We're changing it up.
More fun. Trying to be innovative. Speaking of changing it up, the Atlanta Falcons reportedly want to trade Julio Jones. I know a lot was made about their preseason like graphics that came out. Julio wasn't on any of them. And obviously that's a huge red flag, but there will be some obvious contenders here. The New England Patriots probably have to top the list of anyone who would be trying to get Julio Jones. They're out of conference. They have picks. They need a wide receiver. The San Francisco 49ers have been linked to Julio basically ever since Kyle Shanahan got to San Francisco. But I'm very interested to hear what you guys think. Now, they did draft Kyle Pitts. So it's like, okay, well, we kind of got our big guy. We got our replacement. But it seems like everything they've done this offseason points to loading up to be good, not rebuilding. And trading Julio would point to a rebuild.
That's why it's so weird for me. Like, even with the Kyle Pitts thing, it's like, okay, they clearly think Matt Ryan still has some good games left in him. And I think he probably does too. But when they drafted Kyle Pitts, I thought, okay, they're loading up for a Super Bowl run. And now they might trade a guy like Julio Jones. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Like, if you're going to trade Julio, why not take your quarterback
back in
of the future?
Draft. That's what I was immediately, my thought was, okay, if we were in a rebuild, then why didn't you go quarterback?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Especially because we talked about how, like, this next year's quarterback class isn't terrible, but it's not what this was.
Right.
And I just thought it was very strange. And I do think, too, like, Atlanta fans are going to be super pissed about this regardless. Mm-hmm. Just
he's
because
like
32 they're
32 years old.
Yeah. But what's the market like on him? Because he's not old, but he's not. Yeah.
And he's never been great in the red zone.
Right.
So
and a lot of people will say that, like, he's not great in the red zone because he sees so much attention from defenses. Yeah. But facts are facts.
He hasn't been
great in the red zone.
Ravens, Niners, Patriots, Colts, Chargers, Titans in the market, according to The Athletic.
Man, if I'm the Ravens, I'm winning this battle. I'm giving up whatever I have to.
They drafted Rashad Bateman, which I know is a draft pick.
And signed Sammy Watkins. Woo!
Yeah, who cares about that? Can you trade Marquise Brown as part of it?
Yeah, I would. I'd try to flip some of these
receivers. Falcons, what do you want? It's more than a first-round pick.
Well, the big part is taking on his salary, right? Because he has a huge contract. So it is going to offload them and give them options as well. But they have to do it soon, right?
Melo, to your point, if I'm the Titans, probably so, Paige. If I'm the Titans, I'm like, offer you can't refuse. What is it going to take? Tell us, we'll do it.
Yeah.
And they've missed on so many first-round picks anyway that it's like, maybe we'll give up some of these
things. Let me ask you this, Matt. Would you want him on the 49ers? Would you be?
Yeah, I don't know how he fits necessarily, though.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like, this is a pretty deep group. I'm a huge fan of Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk. They're really good players. And they're young players. You don't want to stagnate their growth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have George Kittle, obviously. They throw to the running backs a lot. You can find a way to fit Julio Jones in your offense, right? If not, your offense is the problem. I just don't quite know where he would fit.
I also think they don't have enough. I don't think they have a lot to offer.
Well, they have no first-round picks.
Yeah, they have nothing
again,
to offer.
So.
But
can't, and that's why the Rams weren't mentioned here for a reason. Like, they don't have any picks to give.
I would think teams like, I don't know, does Julio have a no-trade clause? I don't think that was a real popular thing.
I think we're seeing
it more now with like quarterbacks like throwing a no-trade clause. Like a team like the Jets or the Colts who have a lot of cap space and have some picks that they could potentially move. With the Colts, it gets kind of weird because their first-round pick is contingent on how much their quarterback plays.
So they can't really trade their future first.
And the Jets just signed Corey Davis, so maybe they're not a great candidate for it. But some of these teams that have a lot of cap space, they should probably take a look at it.
The Browns have
a lot of cap space. I don't think they need him, though.
The crazy thing is he's only a $23 million hit this year. Now, the dead cap is actually crazy, so never mind. That changes things.
I think I saw that's pretty much the reason why they want to trade him. Mm-hmm. It's like they have to clear up some cap space. I believe they're one of the only teams that like, they don't have enough room to sign their rookies, like all their deals yet. So they have to clear out some cap space, and it's either Julio or it's Grady Jarrett.
They trade him now and mark it as a post-June 1 trade, and it's only $7 million on a 2021 dead cap hit. So kind of smart. Sucks. But that's
the Titans are in a tough cap situation as well. Team that we mentioned, they might be interested in him. But the cap's not even real. I don't believe it. So you can,
it's not real. Yeah, right? It's fantasy.
Yeah, right. Like the Falcons are going to trade Julio, have $7 million in dead cap, and clear up cap space.
Speaking of fantasy, and this is, I'm sorry, this is just where it's an exciting weekend. We have the Mic'd Up Golf Tournament. I have my 20-year high score union. My brain's going to be all over the place. We should do like an elite listener Two Guys Girl Fantasy League. There's three of us. Mm-hmm. We get nine people, like nine of our like diehard listeners, and we do like the winner gets to come on the show.
Yeah.
And some other stuff.
But I would probably win it, and I'm already on the show.
That would be awkward for everyone else. Maybe you get a day off.
Yeah.
If one of us wins, we get a day off.
Yeah, we replace that person. No,
that's what
we
used to do when I was teaching. It's like, oh, if you are participating in this, you get to have a little bit of free time, and the counselor or the principal will come in and take over your classroom. That's what we do for the Fantasy League.
I mean...
And I get to wear jeans that day.
Yeah, right. You have to pay $5, but you get to wear jeans that day.
I would probably totally lose that because, one, you guys know this. When you, I mean, you probably do fantasy, right, still?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I find it to be like another job because I take it so seriously and I want to be.
You're pretty competitive.
I'm so competitive. So that's why I like stay away because I know too if I don't do well or I'm distracted by like my day-to-day job that like it'll piss me off. So most of the time I stay away from fantasy. And then I would just end up picking my team based on like players that I liked. You know what I mean? I would. I'd be like, oh,
Najee
I love
Harris,
him.
First round, for sure.
Arizona, and like first round
pick, or first overall pick, and she'd take Najee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. I totally would.
Which not even joking.
Might
I
not be the worst pick. The late round one. Yeah. Right?
Exactly.
I think we need to do at least one fantasy league.
I'll try.
I played a lot of leagues last year to like raise money for charity. And I'm going to be honest.
Humble brag.
I lost. Yeah. I lost my login. Like, week 8, and I was like, yeah, oh well.
I'm really bad about that.
But I can't tell you how many times I've done that.
Yeah, and like, it's difficult. There's one league that I do care about, and it's the league that we've been in forever with our friends from back home.
Yeah.
And like, I'll never forget that password because it's important.
I sort of wish that, I mean, maybe this is just like, it is definitely a female thing, but like, I wish when I was younger that I would have started that and like had a group of friends that did that or like mm-hmm. joined in with the guys that I knew were doing that. Mm-hmm. Before I got, like, now I'm invited to a bunch of them because obviously I work in sports, but like,
humble brag.
Yeah. Now I'm so popular. I can't even, that was like me the other day talking about how many group chats I had, which I have a lot, by the way.
That's just annoying to me.
But I was like, I don't care. No, but I would honestly try. I would make it work.
I think we should.
Okay, let's do it.
We get nine kick-ass listeners, and we do.
And we'll do like a pack of something for them too.
Gum?
Maybe. No.
Mm. Oh, I'm sure we could do like a Boulevard prize pack. We could do a Manscaped pack.
We could do like a all of our sponsors pack.
MedAmerica RV will give away an RV.
They're listening. They're like, no, we won't give away the RV.
Schmutz is like, fuck you. Yeah. No.
We got to buy in if that's the case.
Yeah.
That's what we should do for our friends league.
Buy in and winner gets an RV.
Winner gets an RV.
Schmutzy, our sponsor, he's in that league too.
Yeah.
So he throws down a little teardrop, toy hauler.
Man, if I could just, so he was telling me back to football. He was like, you know, that little trailer that you got, which I love, by the way, he said, it's going to be great for those cold weather Arrowhead games. And he's right, Mello. We're going to turn the little heater on and we're just going to sit in there and drink beer. Because you can just lower the ramp and you just sit in there in the heat and drink and like still see everybody. It's going to be great.
I love every time we see him and he reminds us that we also have a Chiefs bus. He's like, hey, that still fucking thing's still on my lot. So if you want to take that to game.
Matt,
for that thing.
We'll tell you this off air because we need to get back to football. But Matt and I did come up with an idea for what you could use that for, by the way.
Oh, yeah. We
it's
have a good
it's
idea.
A good investment idea.
I was going to pick up children on Sunday mornings and take them to Sunday school.
Don't let Big Country do it with his mustache. No one's letting their kid get in a bus with that guy right now.
And then we serve donuts.
No way. I don't know if you saw on Twitter, he was at a Royals game on Wednesday night.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it really went undermentioned that he was there. So
I haven't been on Twitter much. the last like 24
hours. I posted
hours.
A picture of barbecue and it got very, very popular, by the way. I didn't realize. No, that was like my best tweet of the week was a picture of barbecue.
I love that Paige like came into Kansas City and Missouri and she was like unbiasedly looking at the barbecue and she's like, this is the best I've ever had.
Yep.
Like, we have to go here. And it's
great.
I love
Joe's.
Yeah. It's a very good spot.
It is amazing. We need to get them on the sponsorship train. Okay, back to football.
Oh, yep.
Kind of.
Maybe.
I guess. Maybe. Does back to trying to make the roster. Timothy Tebow has officially signed to play tight end for the Jacksonville Jaguars. He'll wear number 85 as of now. That could change. But he has to make the roster. I feel like because I work at ESPN and Paige works at Bleacher Report, we have to talk about Tim Tebow. It's actually
just everybody.
My anklet is buzzing. It is the biggest story that is a non-story.
Right.
So like my thing is like
Tim Tebow way though. That's like baseball. Like
let's just let him try. Who cares? That's my take. Like who?
Thank you.
Why do we care? Let him try.
Well, here's the thing is I think we can talk about it, but I don't think there's any reason to hate on the fact that he's trying to do it or for whatever reason the Jags think it's a good idea. And
I mean, we all would if we were in that same spot.
Yeah, I asked you guys that last time. I was like, would you do it? And well, Matt said no because he's not big enough. But I meant like in general, like if you had the opportunity to do something like that, why wouldn't you?
If the Jaguars were like, hey, we're going to pay you $1 million. Come have this job, whatever it is. Like it could be the janitor in the stadium. Like, yeah. I'll do that.
Wow. If they paid their janitors $1 million, sign me up. I'll do it.
Do you have to have a degree? I have one.
I have one. me too. I'm just kidding.
College wasn't really the best path for me.
You know what?
I went to BRU.
I went to SU for a little bit. Subway University.
Right?
What?
Subway University.
I'm sorry, I'm just naturally talented. I didn't go to school.
Okay. No, but I do think also this is like, you guys are going to hate this. This is something that like people should look at and go like, hey, maybe it would be nice if like I didn't give a fuck what people thought and I just did what I wanted to do and didn't care. Because Tim Tebow literally doesn't care. And he's also like a good person. So I don't know why we're criticizing. He does a lot of good things.
I did see, though. I saw a tweet going around. I think it was PFT Commenter. He was like, Tim Tebow, like, knows everything that went down with Percy Harvin, Aaron Hernandez, the Pouncey brothers, like, all these people at Florida. Urban Meyer. Hey, Tim, want a job? It's like, wow, what's it going to take for you not to talk about this?
Ooh.
Right?
He's not signing, like, a non-disclosure agreement, but he's just
He could have.
Those stories will eventually come out, and Tebow will get paid $1 million.
I mean, no one's perfect.
Or more.
But,
yeah, probably more.
That team really wasn't.
No.
Janoris Jenkins was on that team.
But also, do you think he was like really around it though?
Yeah,
like,
so
I mean,
the rumors, I mean, were always that he really took Aaron Hernandez under his wing to try to like smooth him out.
You know,
and that they did spend a lot of time together. So,
I mean,
you're the quarterback. You got to be around it to some degree.
Yeah.
And like the fact that like everyone loves him from that time.
Right? We were talking about this earlier. Sometimes people have a hard time believing that people are like genuinely good people because they aren't. And so they criticize people who are like overly nice. They're like, that can't be real because I don't want to do that.
Oh, yeah.
But I feel like with Tim Tebow, like he probably didn't think that they were really that bad because he doesn't have that in him to be that. You know what I mean?
Well, and on the flip side, when Tebow was coming out of Florida, everybody was like, there's no way this guy's actually saving himself for marriage, or like there's no way he's actually straight, or there's no way he's that good of a dude.
I think those things are true. Yeah. I mean, he's just a little corny at times.
A little corny at times. So
just
we all are.
Just play some football.
We haven't done this on this podcast yet, but we just want to give a shout out to your guys' friend Colton for finally being able to be himself from The Bachelor.
Yeah,
he's also a football player, so shout out to him. Sorry, that just made me
big,
think of that.
Big fans of being yourself.
Big fans of be yourself.
Just be yourself. You know the little B? Just be yourself. It's not a cartoon. Like one of the ones I saw. Yeah, that would make sense. One of the ones I saw. Okay. This show's weird today.
We are all over the place. It's fine.
Matt Campbell, head coach, Iowa State. And the Cyclones look very good for next year, by the way. Mm-hmm. Very good. Brees
Brock
Hall
Purdy.
Coming back.
Yeah. Heisman 2021. Is that what you were going with?
Brock Purdy in his
6 year.
He's like the, my brother actually texted me this after our last episode that we talked about it. That he's like the Perry Ellis from Kansas. He's like the Perry Ellis of college football right now. Then he's like, he's still there.
Ian Book was another one. It's like, how's this guy
still here? Especially because he was in like so many quarterback battles at Notre Dame, especially because they did that like back and forth. He was with so many people that that's a good point.
Matt Campbell, speaking of being somewhere for a long time, the Detroit Lions reportedly offered him a 6-year, $85 million contract to be their head coach, and he said no. 6 years, $85 million. Quick math, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're not making that Iowa State.
It would have doubled his like annual salary at Iowa State.
Oh my God. But, side note, you have to live in Detroit.
Yeah.
And be in charge of an NFL franchise. I mean, I guess it depends because like Joe Brady's thing was like he did not want to be in college football because he hated the recruiting aspect. I feel like a guy like Matt Campbell enjoys that and enjoys bringing people in. And also the fact that he's been we were talking about this offline, but
off the line.
But like that has to be a really great recruiting thing that he has been in the conversation for NFL head coaching jobs for years, for at least the last four or five. And like he stayed there and made a point to be there. Like that has to help with recruiting and it's shown on the field. So, I mean, I get it when you choose like quality of life and where you want to be. I feel like maybe he would rather stay in college football. I don't know if it's maybe if it's an Iowa thing specifically, but
or a fit thing. He could just be waiting for like a good NFL job.
But I feel
job.
Like there's been so many NFL head coaching jobs that like
yeah, but they've been like the Jets and the Lions.
Well, what's he gonna wait for? Like the Patriots? Yeah, you know
maybe.
What I mean?
Like I wonder if he's like, hey, whenever that Cowboys job comes up, and like if the Cowboys offered him 6 years, 85.
Yeah.
Maybe he would do it. But I do think it is really cool that he's saying, like, no, I'm going to stay at Iowa State. I mean, there's been so many times where I've thought he was going to leave and go somewhere else, like the NFL.
Two years ago, it was like everybody assumed that he was leaving. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, that was 2 years ago. It's hard to remember what year it is because 2020 didn't count.
Yeah, it was a four-year deal. It really was. 2020 was 4 years long. That's how I'm always going to look at it. But I do think, Mo, to your point, it's a lot like Lincoln Riley. It's you're waiting for that job. But eventually, like, you might just become, like, you might just be a college guy. You know, we always thought Bob Stoops would leave. You know, it's like someone will offer him a job eventually. Bob Stoops will leave Oklahoma. Well, it didn't. He's retired.
And he retired early.
Yeah. So I do wonder if we see that with Matt Campbell, with Pat Fitzgerald, who has been offered David Shaw. You know, it seems like there's a lot of guys. Chris Peterson was always in the mix,
Ryan
and he
Kelly.
Just up and retired.
Yeah.
Brian Kelly, I think he's probably at this point just a college guy. Which
I love.
No
I love
problem
it.
With that. You're making great money. It's much less stressful.
Yeah. I mean, you're on a little bit more and you have to be more aware of other things. But I also think like if you get fired and you're bad at it, you make a lot more money.
Right. But also like
you're
then you do as NFL. Yeah.
And like I think the cool thing about college though is, and I know like people like Dabo Swinney have said this or Meyer have talked about it, like you get to go recruit your own team.
Yeah.
You don't have to draft them or negotiate in free agency. You just have to negotiate in recruiting.
Now, do you guys think that this sort of college guy thing changes when the players can actually make money on their name, image, and likeness?
I don't know why it would change that. I think it would make it easier to recruit.
Because you would have to handle players that would go to their head. There's a new added thing. Like when NFL rookies come in, like they go through this process of having that like training and they go to like all kinds of seminars and like they have that for a lot of leagues when you go pro.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that maybe like like colleges will have to do individually as opposed to because the NCAA is not going to do it.
It's one more staff member.
It's what? Yeah. One more. Actually, if somebody wants me to do it, I will host whatever.
No, but like for real,
I'll be in charge.
Someone's
going to have to bring someone in to like basically be a liaison. On between brands and athletes.
And that's going to have to be...
Hire Brett Veach. He's really good with money.
That's true.
That has to be something that schools are thinking about because that is somebody you're going to have to bring in. And it has to be team-specific and school-specific because it's going to be local, like, things. I mean, geez, they're going to need a whole entire staff for it for Alabama.
At, like, Texas and USC, they've already set up some things. I don't remember what they're called.
Like education?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's, like, to help players make money and also manage the money that they would make.
Well, yeah, you should be able to invest...
Like
and
brand
I think
ambassadors.
A lot of other programs will.
Programs.
Once the SEC does it, everybody else will.
Yeah.
But and I'm sure the other, I think Ohio State maybe is doing
like,
it as well.
That can't be on the SIDs. They already have enough to do.
No, definitely
there's
not.
There's going to need to be more. That's crazy. That there's going to be a lot of business.
You're
I can
have
already
like
tell.
A 50 staff, 50 member staff.
It's going to be like recruiting or like
well,
how
it's gonna be
like social media departments.
They'll basically have to have like agents come in. Like you'll basically have to be that like qualified as an agent in terms of like
I can see
law.
Already what our drunken conversations this weekend will consist of.
What?
Building out this department.
This department? I want to be a part of it. I've decided that's what I want to do now.
Yeah, Mama Page running the
yeah,
agent.
Yeah, if you mess up, we're going to figure it out and we're gonna learn
like that,
from this.
That counselor that's always on
that's
last,
the last
chance
you that's Paige.
Like that's
no,
what
but
this
actually,
role is gonna be.
She's the NIL counselor.
Yeah.
Right?
I would you guys know I would be good at that.
You could call yourself the millionaire.
The millionaire. Oh my gosh, we need to trademark that now. Right. Before this episode airs.
I told you my brain was gonna be weird today. Before we take a quick break so that I can recalibrate here, the Broncos hired Kelly Klein as their executive director of football ops, the highest ranked woman in NFL history. She'll also serve in an assistant role to the general manager there, George Payton. Congratulations to Kelly Klein. She's been with the Vikings for a long time. Highly, highly respected scout and evaluator. This is just fucking cool to see.
Yeah, it is. And it's like the Broncos are always making cool moves, whether it's in the draft. Like they're just always doing things that I am in favor of. And this is another one. I think it's great that anytime you see equal opportunity and when you can put race or sex aside and just say, hey, we're going to hire the best person for the job.
They're qualified.
So, yep, good for the Broncos.
Yeah, that's the other thing is just – like so many times when like women get hired, they're overqualified for this. Like she is overqualified for this role. If you look at her resume, she is fully prepared for this. It's huge for NFL. I know in baseball, Kim Ng has been like the shining light for all women in baseball, a very, very conservative and not so welcoming sport. So exciting to see that happen in the NFL as well.
No, very cool. And hopefully tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. You know? I did actually want to make a shout out before we take a break because I forgot about this, but Barstool did something pretty cool, specifically Riggs, with so I think it was last week or the week before, the regional for the women's golf tournament was canceled because their explanation was the course was playable but not at a championship level, and so they canceled this and took the top six seeds, and so like a lot of college golfers' careers were basically over, and they didn't try to make it work, change it up, find a way to make it happen so that these – I mean, it's like – that's like saying, oh, the NCAA tournament, we actually can only do a Final Four, so we're just going to take the top four seeds and have them play. So there was no opportunity for them to play and win and move on, and Barstool set up a golf tournament for them all to go to be play. Tons of people have sponsored it, a lot of pro players. They, like, made a video compilation of them, like, congratulating them and telling them that they support them. So I thought that was a really cool move on their end, and just an absolute failure, again, on the NCAA side for women's sports. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mark Emmert needs fired.
The NCAA they fucking gave him an extension. Is the most predictable thing ever.
He still needs fired, though.
We didn't talk about that on here, but oh my God, why? Right. Also, the Pac-12 hired
a new...
we're
all trying to save our jobs at that point.
Right? The Pac-12 did hire a new commissioner, and it could go well, it could not go well. He's a media executive, so who knows?
Mm. He's done like gambling stuff, though, and TV rights. I felt like that's
TV
something
rights
that
is the biggest deal for the Pac-12.
The Pac-12 needed, right? Like,
that's the only way you're going to get... That's the only way you're going to be able to recruit kids there because they feel like they're not being seen. It's not because, trust me, everywhere in the Pac-12 is pretty much great besides the North. Like, it's great weather, great campuses. Mm-hmm. Recruiting is not
even
that hard.
Even up there, people, like, are they're into it.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
With the Oregons of the world and Washington.
Exactly. You got Nike with Oregon, so they're very easy.
And it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. So, like, that the issue has basically been the TV deals. So, hope that works out. All right, let's take a break and we'll be back.
We are 100 days away from college football, and we're doing a little preview here. So we're going to give you three things that we are excited about for the college football season. So instead of just saying everything, because we're very excited about
so
that,
excited for
we'll narrow it down. Three each. So Matt, why don't you go first on this one? What are you most excited about for college football season?
Well, obviously, anyone who knows me or listens to this show, yes, it's tailgates. That is what I'm most excited for.
Steven's on the board.
Win. Yeah. 97% of people said,
can we
tailgates.
Turn this segment into a Family Feud thing?
Ooh, that'd be fun.
That would be
so fun.
All right,
I'm going to workshop.
Yeah, think about that. I'll handle the fantasy football like you handle Family Feud. I like that idea. Tailgates, though, I'm excited. Not only like, listen, I love cooking food over an open fire and eating it. I love cold beer in a can. And I really like seeing our friends and listeners. Like,
country
I really
song.
Do.
I'm going to workshop big
that.
And rich
cold
season.
Beer.
Right? I do. I love that. It's probably my favorite thing about our previous job, and it's something I'm really hoping to bring into my new job. And I do. I just love getting out there, mixing it up with people, and building those friendships with our community of listeners, and also like seeing cool places. Like, you know, we've tailgated in Baton Rouge and Austin and Palo Alto.
When you
and
say we, you mean you guys? Mello I have not.
You were in Palo Alto.
Yeah, I was.
You know, Madison, Wisconsin. Like, we've been all over the country, and I can't wait to expand that more this year. So tailgates is number one for me. Number two, SEC rivalries, because, like, every 4 years we get to watch people bicker over politics. That's not enough for me. I need it every fall. I love to see the Alabama-LSU, Alabama-Auburn, Ole Miss-Mississippi State, Florida, Georgia. I love it. I live for those rivalries. Just love it. Like, it's amazing to me. Probably because I grew up in a state where we are so shitty at sports in Missouri, we never really had rivalries.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, Missouri, Kansas. Well, that's not a rivalry.
And also, you've been around it enough. Like, you see how different. I know they. I hate this. The different. SEC slogan is like,
it's
it means
just
more.
Different.
It means more in the SEC. It really does. But I also like. Even the ones that aren't that big, like the Egg Bowl, like so in actually in 2020, before everything got canceled and shut down, my family was, it's like always Thanksgiving week, and my family was going to go to the Egg Bowl as like our family Thanksgiving trip.
That'd have been cool.
I know.
Right?
So
could have seen Elijah Moore.
I know.
Right? That'd have been worth it right there. Price of admission.
Exactly.
So SEC rivalries. I know somebody's going to be like, Michigan, Ohio State. Yeah, it's a pretty good one.
It is, but well, not
anymore.
Not recently.
It's,
not
cool,
good
it's
anymore.
A cool environment.
Yeah.
It's a very cool
Even
environment. Like Penn State, Ohio State, those are cool environments.
It's not a rivalry. Ohio State owns everybody.
But okay, but they are rivalries. Because you, forget,
kind
that,
of,
you
but,
forget you forget that rivalries are, for college football, it's like more than just the product on the field.
Right. Yeah. I agree with that, but it's not a competition. It's a rivalry, but it's not a competition.
It's a rival. Yeah, that's what you could say.
Yeah.
That's the definition of rivalry, I think, is
two schools that hate each other. And so for like Texas, Oklahoma, I don't even care about that rivalry. I know people think that's so weird. Like Oklahoma fans do the horns down. It doesn't bother me. Oklahoma fans literally buy Texas merch. Like they buy stickers and put it down upside down in their car. You just gave Texas money. That's how dumb you guys are. And the game is played in the shittiest stadium in the world, the Cotton Bowl. You have to fight 200,000 people to get to the stadium through the state fair. It's great on TV. It's not conducive to an in-person experience.
I think I've been twice.
Yep.
I'm not going back.
So speaking of, my third thing I'm looking forward to most this year is Texas letting me down. It happens every year, and it's just I kind of set my calendar by it.
If you
it
set
will
the
happen.
Bar low, they can't let you
What
down.
Week do you think you'll give up on them?
The Oklahoma week. I mean, it's every year. There will be like a fifth overtime loss, and I'll be throwing things.
I think
things.
This year they open up against Louisiana and the Raging Cajuns.
Surprising. Yeah. Billy
good.
Napier
yeah,
is going to beat Texas,
shush.
And I'm going to be like, damn it. Because there is. It's like, oh, you have Bijan Robinson and two good quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Steve Sarkisian comes in. Yeah, Overshown and like the defense, you know, returns a lot of studs. And I'll just get my heart broke every year.
I was in last year. I kept saying it. I really thought last year would be their year to compete in the Big 12. And it wasn't.
Back?
No. Like what is back? I know we always talk about that. Like
exactly.
Texas, they're
back
a big
like
program
Texas.
And they make a lot of money. They're on the like cusp of being a blue blood. Like, I don't
right.
even know if they really
they're
are.
They're blue blood by income, not by...
Right. And by like, people yeah. hating them.
It'd be like being a Rockefeller. Like, you have a lot of money, and we know you're important, but we're not sure why anymore.
Yeah.
Like, what did you do to get this point? It was like in the 60s, I guess. Like, really, they've won three national 70s. Championships.
They're in Texas, so people care.
That's just it.
It's Texas.
Yeah. If you took their accomplishments, and they were the University of Texas at Austin... It'd be completely different.
I think it's the same thing with A&M. Like, you're right, Paige.
Yeah.
They're in Texas, so more people care about it. Like, A&M has been pretty, like, average for their entire existence.
And I think they're extremely overrated
like,
this
if
year.
They, if,
I need to just throw
right?
that
Right? I there. Actually do, too. Like, if they win 9 games, they're like, oh, my God, look at us. We're amazing. I know they were pretty good last year, but it's like, you usually go 8-5. Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And we know you make a lot of money. And you could say the same thing about even Texas. Like, okay, cool. Like, you guys are back because you won 5 games in a row. Like, let's
win the Big 12
Georgia.
And let's talk.
Yeah, be in the Big 12 competing for a conference championship. Like, for real. Not like, oh, man, we almost made the conference championship game. The Big 12
yeah.
is the easiest conference to make the championship game.
Yeah, we were talking about that with Iowa State because we were like, if you're going to stay at a school that's not necessarily, like, the big powerhouse in that conference, like, the Big 12 is the place to do it.
Yeah. And you're like, if
I
you
said
win
no
it,
offense.
No, I'm laughing at something else.
Oh,
if
I
you
was like,
win the Big 12, you're probably going to be in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
There's something happening on my computer right now, and I can't say it yet. But if it happens, everybody's going to freaking lose their mind. So just wait.
Is
I know
it
that,
a software update?
Yeah. Yep.
iOS?
No. Oh, cool. iOS 17 coming
yeah,
out?
Yeah. Wow. They got a new feature you're excited about? Cool.
Mello tweeted that one of our big radio golf tournaments this weekend, which is why Paige is here, and
yes.
a team lost a player, and so I retweeted your tweet, Mello, and was like, hey, anybody wants to come to Joplin Saturday? Someone DM'd me and was like, I didn't realize your tournament was this weekend. I think I'm actually free. So if said person comes and joins this person's team,
shut your mouth.
The whole city will shut down.
Yeah, I was just going to say shut your mouth when you're talking to me, because I know exactly what you're talking about.
I do.
Guys, okay, let's move on before we forget, because we're going to get so distracted by this. Mello?
Could you imagine if I was like, hey, I got you a third And they're like,
okay, stop. Who? Don't do it.
Guy, I retweeted it. We can talk. Like, Zirkle would.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
He'd
don't.
Probably kill his third and be like, no, I've got one.
Wasn't my team missing a player? I thought.
Yeah.
Are we missing a player still?
I just sent somebody a message to be like, hey, Paige still needs a third.
Nope. Dibs.
Does your team really need a third?
Yeah. Dibs.
Oh, God. Okay.
Dibs.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, Mello, what are you excited about for college football season?
This fucking golf tournament this weekend? Yeah.
College football. Go.
For college football, I big college football guy here. And I know that.
I'm sorry.
Everybody in the NFL is always like, oh, the NFL product is better. Yeah. The games are closer. And one of the reasons why I love college football so much is because the games aren't close. Hey, you're going to see absolute bloodbaths where Alabama's going to roll somebody by 40. And I actually like that. I like seeing Alabama jump up to a big lead early and then bringing in the other guys. I like getting a little glimpse of somebody like John Mechie or Jaleel Billingsley and being like, oh, this is the next wave for Alabama. And I like the upsets. So upsets and blowouts. I can't get enough of that stuff. I don't want to see 27-24 every Saturday where it's a close game and you really don't know who's going to win. That is actually pretty boring to me in the NFL. So, and I love it. I think it sets it up for when you do have a classic college football game, you remember it. And like, you remember where you were when you were watching it. If you know, the LSU Alabama rivalry, stuff like that. So I'm here for upsets and blowouts. I think it makes college football phenomenal. And also, second thing, just knowing what I'm going to do on a Saturday. No more plans. Just like, oh, it's Saturday. I'm going to be watching football all day long.
I can't wait.
Don't ask me to do anything. I'm waking up early. And when college football comes around, I don't have to set an alarm.
No, 8 o'clock.
I'm waking up at 8 and I'm turning the TV on and I know what I'm doing until I pass out.
I love the Saturday routine. Like, I have a very, very specific routine.
How early do you have to wake up on a Saturday? Holy shit.
I get up probably around like 6-ish and turn on game day and then
atta girl.
Have my coffee. Enjoy that. Hear the stories that they're talking about and some of the interviews. And then like I'll check in to see like all the stuff that I have to do for the day, check in with writers. I'll get a workout in really quick and then shower, get ready, and then sit on my couch and literally, well, that was last year. I would go into the office before, but yeah. Because we weren't in there last year, I would literally just sit on the couch for 14 hours and watch football.
Exactly. By the way, Mello, I made Paige coffee this morning.
Yeah, I love coffee.
Okay. I don't know. Is that a thing? Oh,
I'm just a nice guy.
You don't make me coffee.
You don't like coffee.
Oh, yeah. Last thing I'm excited about is out-of-conference games. We didn't have them in 2020. Everybody went to conference only. So when you see the graphics posted and you look at the schedule and you see things like Georgia-Clemson, I forgot how much I was excited about stuff like that. Or Miami-Alabama. Like, those teams are going to play each other week one or whatever week they deem it. Week zero, week two. I don't know. Early. We're going to play early. And I'm really excited to see that. I missed it last year. And having it back, I think, will help us figure out who these top teams are. Clemson replacing Trevor Lawrence. Obviously, they've got a good quarterback there. But also, I think Georgia's going to be a really good team. So I know the other day this was posted, and they're like, oh, this is our week one matchup or whatever. And people are like, this is going to be a blowout. But I think Georgia's still going to be really good. They've got two great running backs. JT Daniels, when he started playing, played very well.
Yeah.
I think that they can challenge Clemson and maybe even upset them. And that's another thing that is just very exciting about college football.
That game's – it doesn't have as many prospects as you would think just based on hearing who it is, but it's still
not as much as they have in the past. But I do think they probably have more like good college football players. Like Georgia's sneaky loaded. They probably have four linebackers that could be drafted. They do have four linebackers that could be drafted.
Well, and their Zamir White at running back is very good. I just wish George Pickens were playing.
I know, it
sucks. That's the one.
They still have some really good young receivers, too. Jermaine Burton, I think is his name, was a freshman last year at Georgia. Their offensive line's still going to be really good. I'm much higher on Georgia than I thought I was.
You just convinced yourself. I watched the cycle go.
Alonzo Mourning.
I'll put it up. I think Georgia will beat Clemson. I think they will.
I don't. Sorry.
I haven't looked at Clemson's depth chart.
Clemson's
depth chart that much, but they have DJ.
They
might be all that matters.
But they lost ETN. Justin Ross, we'll see. They lost Powell. They lost Rodgers. I think they lost some offensive
linemen. They lost Darian Kendrick at corner. Mm-hmm.
They're gonna. They have some good corners.
They have two very good edge rushers coming back. That losing Carmen might be the biggest thing.
And they're not draft prospects yet, but Miles Murphy and Brian Breece are phenomenal. They're only going to be sophomores.
Yeah.
But those two are phenomenal on the defensive line.
Who's the line? Kowalski? James?
Salsky?
The guy who hit Justin Fields.
Yeah, he's coming
Will
back.
He get kicked out for targeting week one? I'm going to say yes.
He's still wearing that cowboy collar, it
almost,
probably.
Almost Skalski? I don't know what his freaking name
is. I know. I can see him.
But also, I think if I had to choose between... Like, if it's a close game, if I had to choose between coaches who are going to make the right decisions and calls, I'm going to go with Dabo over Kirby.
I don't know. He's made questionable calls
he
over
has,
the offseason.
He has, but not as bad as Kirby.
Yeah, he's a good coach. I don't know. I'll go out on a limb. Fuck it.
I mean, Georgia. I just like have...
Go Dawgs.
I just have, like, Alabama bias. I'm not...
You do.
I have such Alabama bias.
Yeah, you
I'm
really
like,
do.
Ugh.
You're the biggest Alabama fan that's not an Alabama fan.
I know.
Fan.
Like,
this morning, I was like, Paige, just move to Alabama. Just get it over with.
Just move.
Right. Or trying to explain to my daughters who are going to meet Paige for the first time. And they're like, is Paige country? Like, does she grow up in like a country person or like a city?
Is she country?
And it's like, well.
It's hard. You're like, no. We were talking about like, is she country or city? I was like, well, I grew up a city girl, but like after a few drinks, I'm probably a country girl.
You have more of a southern accent than I do.
Yeah. That's just my covering college football and all I hear it is southern accents, so I think that is just...
But Mello, your daughter's asking if someone is country is so country.
Yeah. Is she country?
They think because they're from Joplin and like...
Oh, they're
the
good.
Surrounding area is very country. Like anybody who lives outside of Joplin has a tractor. You have to. I think it's a rule. So for them, living in Joplin is like, oh, we're city girls. We're cool.
Yeah.
No.
You go
sweetheart.
To Carterville, honey.
Okay. No, you're country. You just haven't experienced the world yet.
They just paved the road that goes to your house 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
It's also true. Okay, Paige, you're
yeah,
up.
Yeah, my turn. To the surprise of no one, I am most looking forward to the field stories on game day.
I was going to say, Najee Harris is gone, so.
Right. Yeah, so what are we looking forward to? Yeah, it's going to be weird because we were talking about this. Like, Tom Rinaldi has gone with Fox, so, like, not sure who's
going
to...
Well, they'll probably do it for Big Noon Kickoff over there, I guess.
Oh, my gosh. So I'm going to have
we don't watch that.
All the feels stories. I can't wait for those because that's one of my favorite parts of college football. Even if they're not about players or whatever specifically, they've done them about fans that have been really cool. So I'm going to enjoy that. The second thing is CFB Twitter. And I say this because last year it was so divided in terms of, like, if we should be playing or if we shouldn't. And I think we're going to get back to being,
everything
like,
was so divided last year. On Twitter, especially.
And so I think that, like, this year it'll be really fun because it'll bring us back to, like, what makes college football Twitter great and people just arguing about whose team sucks and whose coach sucks as opposed to, like, arguing health things and things that are out of their, you know, above their pay grade. And I'm excited about that because I think it'll be fun. And I think we'll get back to, like, enjoying Maction and doing all of those things that are, like, so niche to that sport. So I'm looking forward to college football Twitter being united again. That's like the Tim McGraw. And,
as much as it can be.
It's like the Tim McGraw and, like, the guy from Florida Georgia Line's new song. I think it's called, like, Undivided or something like that. I'm probably butchering that. I don't particularly love Florida Georgia Line, but Florida Georgia Line. And then... The last thing is hating the playoff format, period.
Really?
Yeah, because I want it to expand. Because we've seen, like the way the rankings go, we see the bias of the playoff committee. Like, I can't wait to just keep crapping on the fact that they don't watch specific games.
Well, Cincinnati is going to be very good this year.
Yes.
They're probably going to go undefeated. They might play Ohio State early, actually. But they're going to be good.
Yeah.
And so there's going to be – or there'll be a team, Coastal Carolina, that's
somebody,
like, oh, they need
somebody.
Liberty. Right.
Yeah, that, you know, is really good and should be in the conversation and should get the chance to play in the playoff, but won't because they're not.
Cincinnati does not play Ohio State. They play Notre Dame, and they might beat them.
They'll beat them.
Yeah. Quarterback questions at Notre Dame. I think they got a transfer.
Jack Cohn. Man, what are you talking about?
So, yeah, I like Cincinnati in that one as well.
Melo's just picking the games this year.
Yeah, he's like, he's most excited
to
pick games.
Yeah,
he's like, let's do it.
Exactly.
So, yeah, for me, it's hating the playoff format and having to sit through that, like, show of seeing it and knowing what we're – like, we can already guess what the committee is going to do. We're like, all right, we sit down every Tuesday at 6 to watch that show, and I'm like, I know what's going to happen. Although I do –
Well, even
love,
right now
– I love having Reese Davis talk.
You're right now, you could put a bet in for Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and I would probably say Oklahoma. You'd probably get 3 out of 4.
Yeah.
Like one of them.
The
maybe
bias
lose.
Is going to be Georgia. Georgia's going to have a bad loss, and they're still going to be in the running.
They're still
the
going to be fifth.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Exactly. We already can guess it.
Yeah.
It's so bad. Mm-hmm. So that will be.
Or Iowa State will beat Oklahoma, but Oklahoma will also have one loss. Iowa State will have one loss, and like, Oklahoma's going to be.
When do preseason rankings come out? I know it's a little bit from now, but I'm ready for that.
Yeah. I don't know.
So the top 25 comes out before the season, but then the actual college football playoff rankings that the committee does don't happen
right.
until the middle
but
of
just,
the season.
But we all know the top 25 is really what matters still.
The
preseason
AP one?
Yeah. Because that's your starting point. It's like in track.
Like, you can also like find so many different ones.
It is your starting point, which sucks too, because like people don't think about that when like teams are trying to move up. I need to look this up, like what the biggest jump was from like preseason ranking to actually like being in the playoff or in like the top six.
Mm-hmm. It has to be A&M, right?
I'd say Coastal Carolina. Well, they didn't finish very high.
They finished 12th.
So it might be them because they probably started like 80.
Yeah.
Really?
I would think so.
Yeah, but I can't wait for it to change, which is going to possibly change sooner than we thought. Mm-hmm. They're voting on it soon.
Yep.
So
what's your number? What do you want to get to? Like 6 or 8?
It's a dangerous question.
Zero.
What's your body count for the college football playoff?
Zero. I would have to go with 8, but I think 8, but I'd be okay with 12. I think anything over 12 would be stupid.
I'm 6, but I tell my friends 8. I'm kidding. I think either way, 6 or 8 is cool. Like, if you want to give two teams a bye and have 6,
like 12,
that's cool.
Because it opens up the opportunity for those teams that play in, like for example, like if you play Alabama and they're in your conference and in your division, like you realistically on the schedule are going to have 2 losses probably.
Yeah.
And so that it allows those teams to be able to get in without that. I mean, I know we've talked about it, but they're not going to get in with a 6.
I do hope that they don't just look at it and put in a bunch of SEC schools. Like, if you are expanding it,
I mean, I think there are SEC schools that should be let in.
Right.
But I
like,
do
if
think
it's 2 or 3, but come on, let's let in. If you're a conference champion, you should be in.
Be in, yeah.
Like, even
but where
like
do you,
for you guys,
where do you
like Pac-12, if you're 8-4 and you win the Pac-12, you should have a seat.
Yeah.
In the playoff.
No, it's true.
Least.
It's just like in college basketball. Everyone should get the chance to do it.
Right.
So yeah, no.
Maybe not the full field of 65 or whatever they do.
God, that'd be so sick. It would be hard.
Something smaller than 16. 16 would be too much.
I think 12 is the cap.
Yeah,
8 feels good. If you want to do 6 works, but
think about how long bowl season is. That means we would get games that like actually matter earlier in bowl season.
Yep.
We'd also probably get more shitty bowls. So.
Yeah. But who knows?
Who cares? I mean, we survived last year, and they were letting everyone in.
Right.
It's
like a club and job one. I let everybody in. Let's answer some questions. How about that? You can always send them in #paging2guys or #justthetip. And our first question from Jake Stillwell. This was a Just the Tip question. Mello, I'm going to throw this one at you first. Where should he grab a much needed beer and food tomorrow following a 7-hour drive to Joplin for the Mic'd Up Golf Tournament?
So tomorrow would be today for our listeners. Friday.
Friday.
So Jake, on your 7-hour drive, if you're listening to this,
and you better be if you have a 7-hour drive.
Right. I would check out Chaos Brewing Company Friday night.
Yep.
See what's happening there. Check it out. Get some locally brewed beers.
Yeah, because people ask all the time, like, oh, where do you like to drink? We do have a local brewery that's very good. And I saw today they're re-releasing some of their, like, favorites. They have a big weekend. So, honestly.
Are we going there tonight?
Yes.
Yeah, we are. So, good. Probably been there a decent amount this weekend. They have great, great local beers and just a good setup, really,
and
good setup.
And a big space too.
Yep,
a lot so of room. Even if you're concerned, you still want a social distance,
right?
Not vaccinated, whatever. It's a big space too.
Yep,
and they brew it right there.
The return of it's called their Chaos Beer. It's a tropical pale ale. So
that
also Blackstone Gastro Pub. It's a little bit from downtown, but really good food, really good beers.
I'm not from here, so I don't have an answer. But we all are fully vaccinated, so if you want to come say hi.
Absolutely. We wouldn't be throwing a massive golf tournament.
I'll hug
you now.
I don't even care.
I'll hug you now. We're all fully vaxxed, gang, according to the CDC.
Right? Yeah. I got my card. I'll show it. I got my passport. I'm good. Joplin has an underrated food scene, though. Just stay local.
All right. I'm gonna do a review next episode.
Okay.
Of that. That'll be part of this segment.
Don't ruin any local sponsors for
please.
Us.
Yeah, please.
You got to tell me what sponsors the radio right? show, so
just
I don't.
Just trash the chains.
I mean, if it's anything like Joe's, I mean, the bar is very high. I mean, I'm not counting
so,
on barbecue.
No, we don't have anything like that.
That's one of one.
Joe's is like legit right. my favorite place.
It's like comparing all cities
to
San Diego.
If they want to sponsor this podcast, like please do, because I love Joe's, and I wouldn't be just saying that. I want it to actually happen.
Yeah.
We need to get Joe's and Honey Fire like bidding at each other.
Oh, right.
Because those are the two best barbecue spots.
Yeah, but they're
very different.
Both amazing. We got to take Paige to Nashville.
Yeah, which is happening. Speaking of food.
I'm hungry, yeah.
I'm starving. But your guys' favorite fry condiment.
Yeah, I had a tweet the other night that I don't actually like French fries, but I eat them if I have a good dip. So I only eat fries as like the transportation mechanism to the dip. Sweet. So like ranch or garlic aioli or
you don't
whatever.
Want to just dip your finger in there. Yeah. So you're like, I want to look
exactly.
like an adult. So, I
right.
need a French fry.
Which is kind of how I feel about most things. You know, it's like most
you don't
things
dip
for
your
me.
Finger in there?
Yeah, I don't put my finger in them.
Oh
right?
my god!
So,
you guys.
But really, like fries are more of a way for me to eat the dip.
So fun fact, actually, I did not eat French fries until I was 10 years old.
10?
Yeah, because I just didn't, I didn't want them. I didn't like them. My mom, like my aunt took me to McDonald's and I ordered.
You were definitely the apple slice kid. In the
yeah, I had like the milk and I a burger and I didn't want fries. And she was like, what's wrong with your daughter? She didn't want fries. And I didn't eat, I literally did not eat them.
My daughter's
until I was
had
10.
A bad experience with McDonald's fries and like they were undercooked.
I just didn't have any
and
fries.
And so they won't go to McDonald's. And I want to tell them, like, hey, eventually, in like 10 years,
you're going
to
need
to be
it.
Hungover.
You're
going to
need
some McDonald's
it.
Fries right. in your life. You better figure out how to eat them now. But they won't. They refuse to go there. They will, we can only go to McDonald's for breakfast.
Oh, God.
We were That's talking like, to someone last week who had never been hungover before, and he was really, like, feeling it. He was like, it was terrible. And I was like, okay, well, now you know. Two ibuprofen, McDonald's fries, and a body armor. That's it. That's the trick. That's the tweet.
It's stupid what McDonald's fries will do for a hangover.
It I should concern you about that, eating them but... normally.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
just on it. I'm just going to grab some fries.
Like, I don't need a prescription to eat this or anything like that.
Right.
Or a shot, another vaccine. Right. But what is your guys' favorite fry condiment?
Mello.
Sorry, I should have picked
ketchup.
One of you.
I like ketchup more than.
I just
than,
think ketchup is such a like.
It's too basic. Sweet for me.
yeah, it's so ooh, like oh wait. Ketchup.
Oh, okay, how about this one? I'll get creative. Frosty from Wendy's.
Yo, ooh, that's good.
Okay, that's legit right there.
I'm proud of you for
and
that.
And I've won.
Yeah, that's good. Mine's Chipotle mayo.
Okay.
I like a little kick.
Do you have to get that from a certain place?
No.
I don't think I've had it.
Yeah. Although, what did my we stopped. I had a quick trip the other day. We were headed to Arkansas.
QT.
And so obviously had to get a taquito. And my girlfriend got, because like the cool thing about QT is.
Your fiance is.
Fiance, sorry.
I looked at Matt and I was like, ring, yeah. ring.
The thing about quick trip is they have like great condiments. And so she starts making her own. She was making like a sriracha
sauce?
Ranch. Yeah.
Like Step Brothers?
Right. It was delicious. So sriracha ranch might be up there for me.
That. I am yellow mustard all the way. My group chat actually had like a very intense discussion about this.
Yeah.
And last night.
Was this Wednesday night? Yeah.
Last night. Well, no, it was a few nights before that. But last night they had like the mustard, ketchup, and relish races on the big screen.
Oh, yeah.
And guess what? Mustard won. I sent them a video of it. Because
it always should. This is a very California thing, Mello. They call it yellow mustard and yellow cheese. You know, we call it like nacho cheese.
No,
and
I call
mustard.
I call it nacho cheese. I call it nacho cheese. I thought you meant like American cheese. I was like, I call it American. I don't call it yellow cheese. Because it's more
You
orange.
Did say yellow mustard, though.
No,
like,
yeah. yellow mustard. Because
As
there's,
opposed
there's
to
like Dijon,
brown or Dijon,
Dijon.
Honey.
Like grape poupon is delicious. But yeah.
Easy Obama. Remember when he said that was his favorite condiment? People were like, what an elitist.
Like, oh, the grape poupon? Right? I don't remember that.
Shit's
that's
amazing.
Like, I just remember the Wayne's World.
Right?
Is that the, do you have some grape poupon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was a commercial, but yeah.
But, yeah, no, yellow mustard specifically. Because there's like...
You guys both do that.
Honey
honestly,
mustard.
I thought Matt was crazy for years for doing it.
I love mustard.
I did. Yeah.
We need a poll because I actually want to know. I'll tweet it out about
poll
like if people do really like mustard. Because like I didn't realize that some... Because like in our group chat, it was 2-3.
Can you
two
dip
liked it
fries
and
ranch?
Did.
Is that acceptable?
Yep.
Oh, gosh, yes. No, the ranch. I'm like very weird with ranch because sometimes I can have a taste that I just don't like. There's a fine line because there's ranch and then there's dressing, like salad dressing.
And some places make their own ranch.
Yeah, buttermilk.
And it's like, yeah, you're really not doing this.
Can we stop talking about food and get some? Yeah. I'm really hungry. That'd be great. Okay, that's our show. We'll be back for you Tuesday morning. And I think that's all the announcements we have, right?
Yeah.
For now. We'll have more later.
Yeah, we'll keep listening to the very end so that you get this information. Right. Also, follow us on Instagram, Two Guys A Girl Pod, because we are going to start posting a lot more there. So keep an eye out for that. We got a summer intern.
Hey, yo.
He may or may not be.
And he can reach all the things.
Yeah. There may be some nepotism going on here, but he may or may not be.
On this show, never.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, you have your brother, so I'm bringing in mine for the summer. So look out for social media things.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.